Imagine waking up one morning with a startling realization. Damn, I am here, and this is exactly what's happening. How do I show up for any of this? This is precisely where Ethan Nichtern begins his exploration of confidence, not as some unshakable trait possessed by the lucky few, but as a practice of showing up fully for our lives, even when everything in us wants to disappear. In a culture constantly bombarding us with messages about not being enough, this perspective offers a refreshing alternative to the fake it till you make it approach that dominates self-help literature. True confidence emerges not from conquering our vulnerabilities, but from befriending them. Confidence is like walking a precarious tightrope. On one side lies the pit of insecurity, that nagging feeling of unworthiness that makes us question whether we deserve to take up space. On the other side looms the cliff of arrogance, an inflated sense of self-importance that disconnects us from others. The Buddhist middle path suggests that genuine confidence emerges when we learn to take our seat in the world, not with entitlement, but with a sense of belonging. When we meditate, we come face to face with our internalized critics, the voices that tell us we're not doing it right, not good enough, not spiritual enough. Rather than silencing these voices, mindfulness helps us recognize them as just that, voices, not ultimate truths about who we are. Some people gobble up too many seats in life, while others believe they're unworthy of even Ian Beer. True confidence emerges when we recognize we have exactly one seat that is undeniably ours, and we learn to hold that seat even when life gets difficult. Buddhist tradition speaks of 8 worldly winds that swing us between hope and fear, pleasure slash pain, praise slash criticism, fame slash insignificance, and success slash failure. These winds constantly flow through our lives, sometimes as gentle breezes, sometimes as hurricanes. A promotion brings pleasure, a criticism triggers pain. Our culture teaches us to fortify against these winds, especially negative ones. We build defenses through carefully curated social media, avoiding hard conversations, or seeking constant validation. But what if, instead of trying to control the winds, we learn to stay centered regardless? This is equanimity, the ability to hold your seat and respond mindfully rather than react habitually. Being non-reactive isn't passivity. It's responding from groundedness rather than being blown about. Even spiritual practice can become another way to chase success, turning meditation into competition or using mindfulness to avoid discomfort. Pleasure and pain form the foundation of human experience, wired directly into our nervous systems. Modern culture has built systems to avoid discomfort while monetizing dopamine, pushing us to chase pleasure and flee pain. Brain scans of meditation masters reveal a paradox. They show heightened activity during painful moments, but minimal activity before and after pain, unlike non-meditators. This suggests mindfulness doesn't eliminate pain, but transforms our relationship with it, allowing us to experience sensations without the added suffering of anticipation and rumination. Our nervous systems evolved to amplify pleasure and pain for survival, mistaking pleasure for safety and pain for mortal danger. We inherit these responses, including trauma patterns, through generations. Self-compassion starts with recognizing this inheritance, understanding that our hypervigilance stems from ancestors whose defensive nature ensured survival but prevented true peace. Unlike physical sensations, praise and blame emerge through social interactions. As relational beings, others' feedback profoundly shapes our self-worth. The playground chant should really go, "Sticks and stones may break my bones," temporarily, but words will ruin my self-regard for lifetimes. Our inner critics often developed in childhood from inadequate validation or criticism from key caregivers. The external world constantly evaluates us, and as social creatures, criticism and praise affect our nervous systems like physical pain and pleasure. The uncertainty of others' opinions can be as distressing as outright criticism. Due to our evolutionary negativity bias, our minds fixate on criticism while filtering out praise. When receiving mixed feedback, we tend to focus solely on the critical elements. Receiving feedback inevitably creates discomfort. Even positive feedback makes us feel exposed. Rather than bracing or ruminating, we can acknowledge these emotional responses and embrace our humanity instead of trying to escape it. Compassion reveals our interconnectedness with others, challenging the individualist myth that success comes solely from personal effort. True compassion isn't an exhausting moral duty that prioritizes others over self. It's an equalizing force that embraces both self and others. Many experience compassion fatigue from constant exposure to global suffering, often due to viewing compassion as an obligation to always put others first. Buddhist wisdom teaches that genuine compassion starts with self-compassion before flowing outward. Compassion combines three elements: empathy, understanding another's perspective; care, genuine concern for well-being; and agency, power to act. Without agency, compassion becomes mere passive witnessing, like empty thoughts and prayers without meaningful action. Effective compassion extends beyond individual gestures to systemic advocacy. This approach prevents burnout by making the practice joyful rather than obligatory, recognizing that self-care and caring for others are complementary, not opposing forces. Awareness is not a tangible thing, but rather a space of knowing that contains all our experiences. Like trying to see your own eye without a mirror, you can't directly observe awareness since it's what does the observing. Awareness has two key qualities: self-recognition and accommodation of all experiences. Its power lies in this second quality. As an indestructible container, it can welcome even the most difficult emotions. When awareness recognizes itself, experiences become vivid and luminous. Think of awareness as a parent to your experiences. Through meditation, we learn to hold our internal experiences with unconditional warmth, intervening only when needed. This reparenting develops our capacity to accommodate all experiences, even shame and fear, allowing confidence to grow through difficulties. The winds of life never stop blowing. Through wind horse practices, we harness these energies. Wind, representing life's forces; horse, symbolizing our ability to ride them. Meditation grounds us in the present moment, helping us transform our relationship with life's ordinary aspects. True confidence stems from tender presence, not rigid certainty. Reverend Angel Kyoto Williams exemplified this during a lecture on collective liberation, declaring, "Ask me anything you want, I'm not fragile," embodying engaged presence amid life's challenges. Our essential human qualities are curiosity about the unknown and longing for connection. With curiosity, confidence becomes about settling into life's wins rather than displaying bravado, staying present with our feelings, and focusing on helping others. Confidence isn't about never falling. It's about rising with grace and compassion, recognizing that we can show up with an open heart and steady presence to face each challenge.